free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Want to know? Okay, enough about you. All right. Now let's get to the brass tacks. We are here to discuss basically the summer of Superman is what I want to call it.
1 week after 4th of July, it's coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming soon. Now, I did not watch, I want to be transparent here, I did not watch the most recent trailer because I don't want to spoil shit. You know, I don't want to spoil shit for myself. I feel like I've seen enough. And you know me, I'm like a huge Superman fan. I'm going to go no matter what.
Right.
Like, if they were like, Superman shits his pants in this one, I'd be like, okay.
You still watch it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like with me being a big Star Wars fan, if Master Yoda was just going to be reading the phone book, I would still go and watch it.
Yeah. Mm. Chinese it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe just ordering takeout. It's like, it's Yoda struggling, ordering takeout, trying to... Orange chicken I want. Mm.
Tip you, I will.
Yeah. Not too much, no. you guys, it's terrible Yoda impersonation. I apologize in advance here. And not in advance. I just apologize in general. I'm so sorry.
But from what I saw from the latest trailer, again, I don't think they spoiled too much. It's just in your mind, you imagine these things are going to happen anyway, if you ever watch it. Right. But what I think is important is it just has to work. I hope it works. You know, it looks like it's going to be a fun movie. I know one of the biggest complaints you had amongst other people with Henry Cavill's portrayal, and again, not him personally, but just the way it was written. Like Man of Steel was a little too dark, and Superman's supposed to be more of an optimistic, you know, a little colorful, but not too colorful, but just, you know, an optimistic, fun superhero.
Yeah.
You know, Batman, we expect that. Expect him to be dark. You know, the Punisher, you expect to be dark. Daredevil, a little bit dark, but Superman's kind of like Spider-Man way. You expect there to be a little light there, you know, optimism.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think we'll get that this time around. We're getting back to those roots.
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, if we survive... Yeah, that'll be great. Like, because I feel like, honestly, you're going to start to get more Superman fans. And I feel, and this is interesting because somebody was talking about this. When a nation or a people feel like they're struggling, they look towards hope. They look towards something like a symbol or someone to help them. Fictional or not, that's Superman. Superman is a symbol of hope. He's a symbol of peace. He's a symbol of truth, justice. And, you know, whether you like it or not, the American way.
That's right.
You know?
And you know what? The timing is perfect, in my opinion, with everything going on in the world. And again, we'll be apolitical here, but just with all the different things going on in the world, I think this movie's timing is just right. You need that hope, that optimism, that feel good, you know, an opportunity for things to get better.
Crypto. We need crypto.
Oh, yes. Great. Crypto. I want to see that. I never thought in my lifetime I would see a crypto. The crypto dog in a live action movie.
Yeah, right.
It is so cool.
Isn't that freaking cool? I love it too. Super excited for it. And in fact, I think that's going to be the gateway for a lot of kids and a lot of women.
Absolutely.
That are into so much into Superman. You'll get some of the women that like Lois, you know, they want a headstrong, you know, like positive female character. Sure. But I think a lot of women also like cute dogs.
Of course.
I mean, you do too. I do too. We all like cute dogs.
Hey, crypto's adorable.
Yes. Very much adorable. So I'm excited.
They'll put a smile on your face.
That. And Dom pointed out something. He was like, James Gunn loves middle fingers.
Yes, true.
And I was like, oh, that's true. Because like in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, in the first one, he was doing the reel with the, you know, the fishing rod and gave the finger. That would be... Jesus.
Star-Lord.
Yeah. I was going to say Sky-Lord.
Sky-Lord.
My Lord. Star-Lord, yeah. And now it's Guy Gardner, you know, created a giant green middle... I love that. Like, I think Nathan Fillion's going to knock it out of the park. I think Guy Gardner's going to be one of the sneaky runaway hits.
I think so.
Yeah, because he gives James a lot of opportunity for humor. And... the fact that they're besties, they're like really close friends.
You know, he wrote something good for him.
Yeah, he wrote something good for him. And also that he knows that Nathan could deliver. And Nathan knows to trust him enough that be like, yeah, let's roll with it. Let's give it a shot. Let's try it. Let's experiment. Let's try that. Let's try this.
And I'm sure they took multiple takes from different angles, different dialogue. So I'm sure when they're in editing, they're like, okay, this works best. Mm-hmm. This goes best. So I can trust James Gunn and his editing team with this movie.
Yeah.
The question is, will the old general audience trust the movie? Thankfully, the movie's not too long. It's 2 hours and 9 minutes. That's what I saw because, you know, tickets went on sale. So 2 hours and 9 minutes is the run time. So that's
From what I heard, the tickets went on sale for the pre-ticket thing. I don't know if the tickets, all of the tickets went on sale now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know like the Amazon offered
a special
free to, yeah. And that like, it crashed some site.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what site it was, but it crashed it. I thought that was cool. I also thought it was cool that Milkbone partnered with DC for crypto.
Ah, smart.
And gave, if you pre-purchased or purchased it, they would give you, you got a box of Milkbone dog biscuits and you got the comic book with crypto and Superman.
That's pretty smart.
That's like a $100 comic book right now. It's insane. Like it's one of the most current expensive Superman comic books in that it's come out in forever. Like to be realistic. Even the death of Superman, you can still find black polybagged for $25-$30 anywhere.
Yep.
You know, and that was like the big event for Superman, like since his inception, basically.
Yep. 33 years ago.
Yeah. And it's still only $25 to $30. You can pick that up.
Because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this one, it's super limited. It was super limited. You can, though, get the Milkbone boxes. I saw them at Walmart. So if you don't get the comic book, you can get the Milkbone Superman crypto box, which is still cool. I don't need it. I know somewhere out there, some dumbass or, you know, somebody that's just a hardcore collector is going to buy those boxes of dog bones, dog biscuits, and they're going to just sit on them and be like, I'm going to make a fortune someday. I'm going to sell these Milkbones.
You know? There you go.
I don't think it's going to happen, but sure, you know, live in hope.
Live in hope.
That's what Superman's for.
The other exciting thing I'm sure that you're excited about, and everyone is, I'm sure Jared is too, is the other characters like Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, Terrific. They got the Terrific Mobile kind of thing going. I just saw McFarlane Toys released an image of that, and that looks super dope. And I think they showed it in the trailer too. They showed him in the vehicle at one point. So that looks really cool.
Metamorpho.
Oh, man. Come on. First of all, spot on casting. And second of all, he just looks cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I found out that Mr. Terrific and Metamorpho was going to be in it, and then they were adting like, you know, Great Guy Gardner and Hawk Girl and stuff. I was like, man, I wonder if they're going to do the Terrifics. I wonder if they're doing the Terrific.
Maybe they'll set it up.
Yeah. I think they might be setting up DC's answer to the Fantastic Four, which is what the Terrifics were, technically.
Yeah.
I mean. And most exciting part about that, later on in the issues of the Terrifics, Ted Kord joined the team.
Well, from my understanding, I heard James Gunn is a fan of Ted Kord.
Yes.
So I'm sure at some point he'll be introduced.
Well, you know, I don't know if everybody that listens knows this, but James Gunn did tweet a photo of me.
By accident?
By accident, of course, but still.
It worked.
Tweeted a photo of me as Ted Kord because of my web series, The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. It's on YouTube under Rumblespoon Productions, or you can go to rumblespoon.com and every episode is available there as well. But that was super cool. I woke up to a flurry of people like, oh my God, James Gunn tweeted you. James Gunn tweeted a picture of you. James Gunn tweeted, you know, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
And there it was.
And there it was.
Well, the funny thing is there is a connection because he used to go to a comic book shop that.
Yeah.
That.
Same comic shop.
Comic Smash.
Yeah. Comic Smash in Studio City. Rest in peace, Comic Smash.
You know, it's been 9 years.
Since they closed?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's crazy.
I remember it was 2016.
Yeah, I remember when James tweeted about it, too. He was like, oh, I went to my local comic shop, and they were closed up. And I'm so sad to see that. And, you know, I always thought about that. Like, the owner, Michael, if he had, I don't know if he ever tried to reach out to James or something, but I would have.
He should have.
Yeah, I would have reached out to him and been like, hey, man, like, I know you're a customer here, and I'm a struggling business, and I was wondering if, you know, maybe we could partner up and do something, or, you know, I know how you filmed something here before. Maybe you'd want to film something here again. It could help me, you know, survive just a little while longer.
Can you imagine if you would have shot, like, a minor scene for, let's say, if the shop still existed, like, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, for example.
Dude, that would have been sick.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, or
especially,
two.
Especially when he came back to Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, because part two, I don't remember coming back to Earth. But in Volume 3, when he came back to Earth towards the end.
I think there was with two. It was like the where they were trying to create the spores.
Oh, yes,
yes,
yes.
Colonize the Earth to kind of make it more adaptable for Ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was a little bit in that, but three definitely
would have made more sense, right? You know, you know, he's just meeting, you know, the folks, whatever, and you just happen to have near a shop, a business, and like, oh,
yeah. We were just talking about this though, but like your like big thing is that like if this movie doesn't do well,
it's going to be really sad because once again DC is trying to get over this curse. Now, during the Snyderverse movies, there were a couple exceptions. The first Aquaman movie did great. Wonder Woman did great. Shazam did okay. The first Shazam did okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man of Steel did okay, but it just wasn't like the big hit that everyone was expecting.
Right.
And then Batman vs. Superman, you know, was so-so. And obviously, the Justice League movie, as we know, for different reasons, just did not work out. It was a disaster. Although, you know, the Snyder cut, I thought, was good. I liked it.
Solid.
You know,
Not amazing, but solid. He definitely added a little more humor in there, which I think was important. That was needed. What the fuck?
Yeah, it can't be too dark, too gloomy. And
yes.
In other words, you're trying to Batmanize everything, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, I blame Christopher Nolan for that.
Well,
like
I
just... I want everything dark and within, you know, grounded in reality. And reality is depressing sometimes.
Right, but The Dark Knight, Batman in general, is a gloomier, darker character. So I get it. But the problem is you don't apply that to everything.
Right.
Like Spider-Man. Can you imagine if Spider-Man was just super, super dark? If it was like the Punisher or Daredevil that had that type of aura to it. Like, man, this isn't Spider-Man.
Uncle Ben is dead and I must seek vengeance.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. You know, he's like, you know, he's having these monologues in his head where he's, you know, and he's, you know, he's squirting when he's, when he's spraying out his
That's a different movie, sir.
You know, when he's webbing around the place.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Mary Jane.
I think they did an Avengers porn, and I think China was She-Hulk.
Really?
Yeah, if I recall.
Wow.
Yeah. I used to work sort of for a porn company.
I see.
So, it's an interesting story. I worked for a Chinese herb company in the Valley, in, you know, LA adjacent, in the Valley there. And the Chinese herb company, we were down, almost downtown at the time, and we got purchased by a guy that owned a porn business, which sold porn, distributed it. And he purchased us because he was having, you know, some form of a midlife crisis or something. I don't know. He purchased us and we got moved to the Valley. And we moved to the Valley. And that's when, like, low key, like, we were adjacent to that then, to that world. Hmm. So it was quite fascinating being part of something like that, I guess.
Hmm.
It's just weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
It's like Mary Jane. She broke up with me. I must have my vengeance.
Yeah. But like, and like the, with the porn, like when I worked there, on the coffee tables and stuff, they would have magazines of the upcoming pornos that were being released. And they had one of them that was Avengers. They had, I think, a Daredevil one. They had a Spider-Man one. I'm pretty sure there was a Spider-Man one. And so they were like, and it would be called like Avengers XXX or something like that.
Of course.
Right? Instead, there was no cleverness to it, which I hated that about it. Like, I'm sure inside the film itself, it could have been clever in parts, but like the titles were severely lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always thought that was funny because I would walk past it and I would be like, oh my God, they made that? You know, they made an Avengers porno.
Hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it was China with She-Hulk. I'm pretty sure.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, Hawkeye was in there. I never miss.
Of course. Of course. Is there like a Marvel's version of Elseworld? I'm trying to think what that would be.
Yeah, the What If.
The What If.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did a What If with Spider-Man where he's just Punisher-like, where like he's strangling people with his webbing, you know, breaking their necks with it.
Yeah.
He's got a super dark where Spider-Man is just
killing people. I wonder if
they did one
Dark Spider.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Dark Spider-Man where he's just pissed off.
I know they did Dark Web, Spider-Man Dark Web. Mm-hmm. I know they did that, but like, I don't know if they did a Dark Spider.
Yeah, that'd be something. You see a pissed off, you know, Peter, or he's just killing people. He just doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
That actually, that'd be a way to do it. You know a way to trigger that? Aunt May. Someone murders Aunt May.
Yeah, they killed her before.
But I mean, like a brutally murder her, murder Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah.
Where he just set him off. He's like, I don't care anymore. I'm just killing people.
Like they filmed having their way with her and then killed her afterwards or some shit.
And they said it like on the internet or something like that. He just sees that and he's just so angry. He's like, I don't care anymore.
When Peter snaps.
Yep, he snaps. And everybody, he's like, he sees Frank Castle, like, Frank, you were right.
I think it was also a line in the porn when Peter snaps, you know, I was like, I think that was
Peter snaps.
Yeah. Peter snaps is Spider-Man.
I believe the movie will probably open to at least $120 million opening weekend. I think it'll be at least that, something like that.
No, I don't even know if that's good anymore. Is it good?
No, it'll be good. I'd say
worldwide, they need at least what? $300
million? What?
With domestic.
Oh, to opening.
Yeah.
Oh, opening. I think that would have to be something like that. At least a $300 million opening weekend worldwide. I can see that. Yeah,
somewhere around $300-400 million.
And I think it's very important that it has legs.
Yeah, it needs that rewatchability.
Because 2 weeks later, guess what comes out? Fantastic Four, First Steps.
Which I've not heard good things about.
Yeah, I've heard not good things about it either.
Initial feedback has been lukewarm.
And that's sad too. It's like, man, I was hoping a fourth time would be the charm.
But you
have Galactus in it. You'd think that would help. Like the real Galactus.
Right.
You know.
It literally is the fifth, technically, but that first one never got released, really. It escaped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the what when it was a who did that one? It was Corman,
Roger
right?
Corman.
Roger Corman one produced Fantastic Four.
And then you had the second version from Tim Story, which actually did pretty good. That's why they had a second one, you know, The Rise of the Silver Surfer, but Chris, we know how that went.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Josh Trank one that, you know.
Trank Tank.
Yeah, Trank Tank.
It tanked hard.
So you're hoping that this fourth iteration of the Fantastic Four works. Well, I do hear if it doesn't work, they'll just simply make them part of, you know, the next whatever Avengers movie or something like that.
Yeah, kind of like what they're doing with She-Hulk. People
just attach them to.
Seemed a bit sour on that series, and they're throwing her into some Avenger stuff.
Right. Which is also strange, too, because, you know, a good friend of ours, Reza, made an excellent point. Like, people who are complaining about the show, that's what, you know, the comic book, that's what she is, you know.
She broke the fourth wall.
She broke the fourth wall. But some people didn't understand that. They're like, oh, this is stupid. This doesn't make sense.
She's doing what Deadpool did. No, she did it first.
Right.
And Deadpool just copied her.
Oh, the best criticism is, why do they have a woke, like, female Hulk? It doesn't make sense. Why did they come, like, my God, it's been around since 1980.
Yeah.
They really thought it was just something that just literally just created out of the blue.
Ah, people are stupid. Oh, people are gonna people.
Well, it's like Deathstroke. Oh my God, what's wrong with DC? Why are they copying Deadpool 4?
Mm-hmm.
If you only knew.
Right. Those that know.
Yeah.
Slade Wilson. Wade Wilson. Come on.
And think about it. Deathstroke. Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, it's just like the Ninja Turtles, you know, with Stick and Splinter.
Right.
You know, the foot and the hand.
The hand.
It's like, come on, guys.
They don't get
it. Put two and two together.
They don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But what do you guys think out there in podcast land? Do you think Superman's got legs? Do you think it's going to make it? Do you think it's going to revitalize the DC universe? Do you think Gunn's going to revitalize? I feel like he's done a good job.
Yeah. I hope it does, because if it works, then it makes it easier for all the other, you know, DC products. The DC characters to get a chance that never got a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he just announced that there's a new Mr. Miracle series cartoon. I think a cartoon animated series or something that's going to be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman is in the works.
Yep.
There's a sequel to Superman, sort of, which we think it's probably going to be like World's Finest. You know, that kind of thing.
And maybe another version of Batman, but just within his DC universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We've heard rumors of that, too. So there's a lot of excitement coming up in DC.
And a proper Justice League movie down the road.
Oh, man. We'll see. We'll
because see. Because none of this works, there's going to be more Batman, 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 Batman.
I don't think we need a Justice League. I think we need a Justice League International.
Or Justice Society.
Yeah. Yeah, Justice Society would be cool, too.
But the one thing, you know, I would really love, and I know you would, too, Rebels.
Oh, God, yeah. Jesus, Tony Bedard wrote the shit out of that. It was so good.
So much fun. So much fun. If they did a Rebels TV show, a Rebels movie, oh, my God, I'd be the first one there.
I think the original, Tom Pierre, I think, was the original writer of that 90s one. where they broke off from Legion.
From Legion, right.
And that was a great series, too. Both of them, the 90s Legion and Rebels. But when Tony Bedard took it over, he really broke the shit out
so
of
So much
that.
Fun.
Yeah. I don't know if he's done much writing lately. I haven't heard anything about him.
Yeah, look it up. He was nice. Yeah. When we met him years ago, he was a nice man.
Very nice dude. Very nice dude. But I think that's going to do it, guys. Just a quick in and out.
Go watch Superman on July 11th or afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Go watch Superman. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. And if we don't see you up out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at a hopeful, optimistic, but always super comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.